You've been listening to Marlow Baptist Church's weekly message. If the Lord is stirring your heart, please reach out to us on our website at www.marlowbaptistchurch.com or at the Marlow Baptist Church Facebook page. Marlow Baptist Church offers many Christ-centered activities, such as weekly worship services, Access Student Ministries, Marlow Kids, and various adult Bible studies throughout the week. For more information, go to www.marlowbaptistchurch.com. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, a graveside service, and you're welcome to come. So pray for Betty and the girls and all the family. We would like to have some feedback on our radio broadcast. I've been talking to our finance committee, and we would love to have some feedback on whether on folks that are listening by radio on KMIL 105.1. So we'd love to hear from you. We don't have a secretary here at the church all day during the week, so if you could let someone know, if you know some of us that are here at Marlow Baptist Church, me or whoever it might be that go to church here, if you're listening, we'd love to have maybe a response. You'll never hear this preacher ask for money, and I'm never going to do that. If you do, well, you know, if you hear me say that, you know I've gone crazy. You're not going to hear me ask you for any money at all. Never do that. But we would sure like to know how many are listening by radio. So we've got a post office box 891, post office box 891. If you'd like to drop just a postcard saying we're listening to the broadcast, we'd love to know how many people are doing that, or let somebody know that's a member here so they can get us some feedback to see how efficient and how successful and how much the radio broadcast is listened to. So we'd love to have some feedback on that. Also, if there's anyone interested in another, we're thinking about another license to carry class. We are a country church and we're a Second Amendment church. And if you'd like to be a part of a license to carry class, let Kevin Leach know. Kevin is going to make a list of those that would be interested in that. And then we'll get with Matt at Aaron's Gun Shop, who's had all the other classes we've done over the years. Love to have you do that. And Sissy, what is the rally called? Prayer Rally on September the 11th at 11:11 on the square in Cameron, downtown Cameron, a prayer rally for America. And folks, I'll finish the messages on where we are as a country right now and what we need to do as God's people. I'll tell you the title of it here in a minute if you don't remember it from last Sunday. But anyway, we must pray for America, and pray that God use his people to stand up and be counted. So we will, looking forward to that prayer rally, September the 11th at 11:11 on the square, downtown Cameron, all right? I like them amens. I like them. All right. Anything else now? Anyone else have an announcement that we need to make? Still got a few folks coming in. Stacy's going to be busy in the nursery this morning, looks like. So, all right. Well, thank you, beloved. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing as a choir. We hadn't done this in a long time. So everybody ready to go? I'm excited about that. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day, another day that you've given us to come together in fellowship and prayer and praise and preaching and teaching and learning and exhorting one another, encouraging one another. Lord, I pray you'd bless our time, bless the song that's about to be sung. Lord, you would bless Sister Carolyn on the piano. Thank you for all our folks. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for those that are watching on the internet, listening by radio. pray you'd help us. We pray for our nation. God, we pray for our president. We pray for those that are in authority. You told us that, that's what we're supposed to do, that we may live a godly and peaceable life. So we lift them up, and we ask you to touch hearts, Lord, them that are lost and don't know Christ. But move in this nation. Use us as your people, Lord, to be that influence and that stay of corruption. And, Father, all the things that we'll talk about this morning, that we're to be as your people. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for the cross, the blood, the burial, the resurrection. And, Lord, 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 this could be the day when Jesus splits those skies and calls his bride home. It'd be awesome. But I pray if there's one here that doesn't know you, never trusted the Savior, this might be the day they say yes to him and not be left behind. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I got it, brother. I got it. Buddy said, coming down from the choir loft, he said, man, that felt good. It did feel good. Singing, the choir singing again. according to some of the medical experts, and I won't call his name, but it's okay to burn a building down in protest, but it's not okay to sing in a choir, all right? So how skewed are things? Man, how skewed are they? Well, again, welcome. Thank you for being here today. I'd like to read another history lesson this morning before we begin the message from my American Patriots Bible, if you would allow me. Monuments to American Patriotism. It's amazing that at a time when such a concerned effort is underway to erase the role of God and faith in America's public life, our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., is filled with Christian symbols that adorn its buildings and monuments as an abiding evidence of God's role in America's heritage. From the halls of Congress to the monuments to nearly every landmark building, biblical and religious quotations and images are inscribed and preserved as an official testimony to the true place God has in our nation's birthright and history. In the House chamber is the inscription, "In God We Trust." Also in the House chamber, above the gallery door, stands a marble relief of Moses surrounded by 22 other lawgivers. At the east entrance to the Senate chamber are the words "Annuit Coeptis," which is Latin for "He has favored our undertakings." The words "In God We Trust" are also written over the southern entrance. In the rotunda is the painting of the baptism of Pocahontas. I didn't know that. And also the embarkation of the pilgrims that shows the pilgrims praying on shipboard led by William Brewster. Clearly seen in an open Bible are the words, "The New Testament according to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The words "God with us" are inscribed on the sail of the ship. In the Capitol's chapel is a stained glass window depicting George Washington in prayer under the inscription, "This nation under God." Also, the prayer from Psalm 16:1 is etched in the windows, which states, "Preserve me, God, for in Thee do I put my trust." The Supreme Court building has a number of places where there are images of Moses and with the Ten Commandments. Moses is included among the great lawgivers in Herman McNeil's marble sculpture group on the east front. As you enter the Supreme Court courtroom, the two huge doors have the Ten Commandments engraved on each lower portion of each door, and a display of the Ten Commandments is also engraved over the chair of the Chief Justice. When you enter the Jefferson Memorial, you will find many references to God. A quote that runs around the interior dome says, "I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the minds of man." One of the panels read, "God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever." Millions have entered the Lincoln Memorial and gazed up at the magnificent statue of Abraham Lincoln. His famous speeches are inscribed into the walls. On the left side is the Gettysburg Address. He said, "We are highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." On the right side is Lincoln's second inaugural address, which mentions God 14 times and quotes the Bible twice. He concludes with a lament over the destruction caused by the Civil War and appeals to charity in healing the wounds of the war. "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." Wow. All over our Capitol complex, with all the buildings and all the statues, God is mentioned time and time and time again, and Scripture is quoted. So what we're looking at, and we'll wrap this study up today, we've been discussing this subject for quite a while. I realize that. But last Sunday, we actually got started on the seven things that Christians can do to destroy America. The things we can do to destroy America. If you watch any news, I know a lot of people are not watching news now. I don't watch much. I don't watch any network news. I don't do that. But I do watch Fox News sometime, and even Fox is getting a little slanted to the liberal side on some of their broadcasts. But I love some of the guys and gals that are on there, and the shows they have and what they cover. And I guess you would probably know some of their names if I called them. But I do keep up with what's going on. And you would think that things would begin to quieten down about a week ago in Portland. What was last night, 72, 73, 74th night in a row, whatever it was, where they rioted and burned, and one policeman was hit in the head with a brick and had to go to a hospital, and they have to stand there and take it. It's incredible what's going on in America today. But about a week ago, Antifa and BLM burned Bibles. They were burning flags, but they burned some Bibles. And I don't know if you've seen Apocalypse Stalin on American Heroes Channel. Anybody seen that 3-hour series you have? Man, Bob, is that incredible to watch that and watch what's happening in our country today, what happened in Russia when Lenin took power, and then, they had all the guys, and then Stalin took over and all the things that happened. And destruction of the nation's history so they could rewrite history. What do they call that? What's it called? Counterculture now. You hear counterculture on the news and stuff all the time now in America, doing away with our nation's history. What will they do with all these memorials in Washington, D.C., and all the scripture and all the references to God if they come into power in America? I don't know what will happen. But you think things would calm down and get better, but the more you hear, it just seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. And there are seven things that Christians can do, I believe, to aid in the destruction of America. So we started last week. Number one, anybody remember what it was? Anybody remember number one? Apathy. Yes, let apathy prevail. Be apathetic to what's going on in America today. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Okay, so, well, the future is ours to see. We can look in the book and see future events, can't we? We can look and see future. But we can also look down the road from where we are now and see where we're headed as a nation if God's people are apathetic. I believe we play a great role in America to change the course of what's going on. And we can let apathy prevail. That lack of want or feeling, that lethargy that we fall into, disinterest. I'm not there. I am not apathetic to what's going on. I hope you're not either, beloved. I don't think you are. And so we can let apathy prevail. We talked about that last week, and I'm not going to go over that again. Number two, we also talked about this. The second thing we can do as Christians to watch the destruction of America, and we can sit on the sidelines and not get politically involved. Oh, Brother Wayne, you from the pulpit in a church and you're talking about getting politically involved. Why not? Aren't we citizens of America? Aren't we citizens just like everybody else? Matter of fact, we've got a dual citizenship. We've got two countries. We've got America as our home, and we've got heaven as our home for eternity. So we've got dual citizenships. And we can sit on the sidelines as God's people and not get politically involved. I wish I could run for president. Man, they'd shoot me the first day, you know it? But I wish I had the finances and the means. At least you could get out. I would love to be up on the podium and debating with the prospective candidates and make my views known and what I feel like from God's perspective. I would love to do that. I'd love to get it out there that way. Well, I can't do that. I'm already too old. Well, I'm not as old as the two that are running for president, you know. One of them is really old, I think, if you listen to him. But anyway, you know what? We need to get politically involved. We need to have a voice. We need to speak. You say, well, I vote. Yeah, we can vote. But you know what? We need to talk to folks. We need to get out there. We need to to share with folks. The mask I wear, which I don't like wearing the mask, I don't think any of us do, but I've got political things written on the mask that I wear. Amy gave me some political masks, and I wear them. And I guess I wear them to kind of be in your face. I guess maybe I do. But I don't get many comments. But one lady stopped me the other day. Jeannie and I were in a store. And she said, "Oh, man, I love your mask." And I just said, "Praise the Lord, sister." And everybody around, but with four or five aisles over, heard me say that. And she said, "Amen to that." So you know what? I think folks want to see other people that are willing to get out there and get on the front lines and proclaim what we believe and how we feel about what's going on. So you know what, beloved? God's people need to get politically involved. We need to. We must. We've got to. We can't keep silent. We've been silent for too long. Number three, talked about it last week. We can be uninformed on the issues that affect us, not only in this nation, but in this church and our churches in America. The burning of the Bibles, hey, that's happened in every socialist takeover in every country. I've looked down through the history books, and I've watched on the channels. American Heroes channel is a great channel. I love it, and it's got a lot of good things. They've got Hitler, they've got Stalin, they've got Mao Zedong and all of that. They go through all the history of those, and I'm going to tell you what's happening in America. You see, that's what happened in those countries when socialists and then the communists took over. And we can be uninformed on the issues that will greatly affect our lives as Christians. Just stay uninformed. Oh, the K-Sara-Sara syndrome. We can do that. Your number one issue, anybody remember what it was? Number one issue we need to be informed on? Life. Life. Life, life, life. I would never, I don't care who he or she is, what they proclaim to be, if they're not pro-life, I'm not for them. Amen? I am not for them. If they don't value the life of little babies like Kaylin right there and the children that we have in the nursery, then they don't value my life. Amen? They don't value life. Bless God. They might value their own life, but they don't value mine. And the number one issue is life. How and where do the candidates stand on this issue of life, abortion? Where do they stand on that? Number one issue, we talked about that last week. Anybody remember the second issue? Marriage and family. Where do the candidates stand? If we want to see the demise of America happen, we can stay uninformed on these issues. Number one is life. What do they feel about life? Number two, what do they feel about marriage and family? What is their viewpoint on marriage and family? It's all messed up in the world, and certainly in America today. Family and marriage, God's family, the biblical family that God set forth in His Word in Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God formed man, and then He formed woman from one of man's ribs. And then He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." A man and a woman and children in that family, the biblical family. I mentioned the nuclear family last week. I looked it up a week before, and there are a lot of definitions on that. I like biblical family, God's idea of a family. Where do the candidates stand on family matters and marriage? Where do they stand on that? Number three, anybody remember number three? Israel. Oh, Brother Wayne, now you're getting way out there now, Brother Wayne. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. God told Abram, when he made that covenant with Abram, and he said he'd make him the father of many nations, he was going to call him out of Ur of the Chaldees, send him on his way to a place he didn't know where he was going, and he told him, "Those that bless you, I will bless." He was talking about the offspring and the seed that would come from Abram. Later Abraham, the father of many nations, he said, then the name means. And he said, "Abraham, I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you." And I'm going to tell you, we need to be a friend of Israel. We are a friend of Israel right now. The previous 8 years before this administration, we were the enemy of Israel, and we slighted her and put her off and didn't want to have anything to do with her. And this administration befriended Israel again. And beloved, I believe what God says in His Word is true. And how the candidates treat Israel and how they feel about Israel is vitally important to me. And as God's people, it ought to be vitally important to every Christian. Number four. Anybody remember number four? The judiciary. the Supreme Court and the federal judiciary, the judges that the president has the right and the privilege to appoint, not only to the Supreme Court, but to federal judgeships in America. And we know what one federal judge can do. He can stop, he or she, they can stop anything from coming. If they don't agree with it, they can stop legislation or any active movement in America that's good for America, and they can say, I am going to stop that. And that judge can rule, or that panel of judges, those federal judges, can rule against it. And boy, it's dead in the water. How terrible is that? Well, I'll tell you what, beloved, we need judges that are going to look at the Constitution and they're going to rule by the Constitution and not some living document they say it is. It changes with the times. It's worked for all these years, the Constitution of the United States, and those brilliant men and I'm sure women behind the scenes that formulated that great document that has governed America for all these years, with all her flaws and with all her needs and things that could be done better, yes. But I'm going to tell you, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are under attack today by these judges and some these liberal justices on the Supreme Court that hate the way we're going and hate America, and they want to see everything change. And the man that sits in the White House has that power to nominate judges to those positions of great power in America. It's important that we know where the candidates stand on the issue of the Constitution and how judges are to rule based on the Constitution and not how they feel or some whim or some pressure that's brought on them by some group. How about, we didn't get this far last week, and I'm going to pick up right here. How about legislation that comes down the pike in every 4 years or every year? There's always legislation. Legislation always originates in the House and the Senate, and they have to agree on what they're going to do, and then they send it to the president for him to sign it into law. And these legislative ideas and these decrees that come from people in the House and the Senate that don't know God and they hate Him, you can tell by the way they live their lives and how they react to decency and morality and all these things that once governed our society. I remember back in the day when you had the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, and they'd have a candidate for president, and nobody was really too concerned. I mean, you didn't have a real concern about who won or not, because morality and decency and civility were part of the American experiment. If the Republicans won, well, there'd be people disappointed. If the Democrats won, there'd be people disappointed. But you know what? There were some boundaries there. Morality boundaries and decency and civility and propriety governed America. And where that came from was our founding fathers and the influence that the Bible had in society. When on Easter Sunday at First Baptist Church in Cameron, we got to sit in the balcony because the church filled up on Easter Sunday, and it was so exciting for us young whippersnappers to sit up in the balcony. But now on Easter Sunday, churches, I guess some churches do, but most don't. And beloved, there was a code of ethics that governed our society, but all that is gone today. And people running for office, whether they're senators or representatives or running for president, they flaunt their immorality and their perversion, and I'm for this and I'm for that. And it just blows me away. It blows me away. Legislation that originates in the House and the Senate and goes to the president for signing into law. Man, what would come? What would come if things continue like they are today? Get a little inkling of it. We're going to go through the platforms of the two parties as soon as they're available. They might already be available. I don't know, but they hadn't had their conventions yet. Legislation is very important. What's going to happen in the next 4 years? And then another issue is our economy. Our economy. Hey, it's trying to bounce back. The pandemic, this China virus kicked it in the head. It was rolling. Man, the unemployment was at its lowest in I don't know how many years. Dozens, hundreds, not hundreds, decades maybe. Man, it was rolling along. And this pandemic hit. But I'm going to tell you, the economy is very important. I love going to Walmart or to Sam's or to Home Depot or something and see all these competing products in there. People competing with one another. Companies and farmers and ranchers competing to make their product the best. That's what capitalism is and free enterprise. And already one side is talking about, oh man, we want to go socialism. Did you hear about the article written in Teen Magazine, the op-ed article in Teen Magazine, about the gal that wrote it and said we need to do away with private property because there's going to be people that are hurt and they're going to be evicted from their homes because they can't afford. So we just do away with private property. This is in Teen Magazine. It's a fact. Read it. And do away with all private property. It's what they did in Russia. That's what they did in China. It's what they did in Cuba. That's what, I don't know if Hitler did that or not. I don't know if he did it. But any socialist or communist country, they do away with private ownership of property. You want to give up your home? You want to give up your land, your cattle, your car? You want to give all that private property up? That's what they want. The economy is very important. Being able to compete with another company or another rancher or whoever it might be to produce the best product. You go into a store and you can't even make up your mind with all the choices we have. But go into one of these countries that's been under socialism or communism for a long time. They're just lucky to get one roll of toilet paper, just one brand. We got all different kinds because our economy is the greatest the world has ever known, and it's free. And there's competition, and people want to do the best they can. They say we want to punish those who work hard. We want to tax them till they can't pay anymore. And we can give it to those who won't work. I understand there's people that need help. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, our economy's under attack. And that's one of the issues we need to be sure the candidates address. What do they think about our economy? And how about this one? How about our military? How about our military? They already want to defund the police. And you think they won't want to defund the military? You would think that? When I go to bed at night, you know what I want to go to bed thinking? That our borders are safe. That we've got people on alert and the radar systems are all set up to detect anybody that might be coming to America, whether it's by plane or missile or whatever it might be, that would destroy us. I want our military to be as powerful as it can be, a well-funded and well-equipped military. And I'm going to tell you, some of these candidates are talking about doing away with the police and doing away with military funding so they can fund their Green New Deal and all of this junk. I want to be safe when I go to bed at night. I want to be safe. And then let's get back to the fourth way. We want to be informed, beloved. The issues are very important in this election, far more than any other election in the history of this country. The fourth way Christians can destroy America. You know how we can do that? We just keep the salt in the shaker. Keep the salt in the... Brother Wayne, you done gone nuts now. Keep the salt in the shaker. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you know who the Sermon on the Mount is to? That's to believers. Those who believed and those who would believe in Him. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor or its flavor, how shall it be salted or season? You are the salt of the what? The earth. If the salt loses its flavor or its savor, how shall it be seasoned or how shall it be salted? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out or cast out and trampled under foot of men. Keep the salt in the shaker. You know what we are? You remember the Andy Griffith episode where the Darlings sang Salty Dog? Anybody remember that? The Salty Dog song? Honey, let me be your salty dog. Remember that? You know what we need to be? We need to be salty. We need to be salty. Now, I know that that's probably has a bad connotation to it in some arenas. I understand that. On the football field, a player that was really mean and really tough, Kevin, what were they? They were salty, weren't they, bro? They were salty. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. This is our home. This is where we live. This is our country. We are the salt of the earth. You know what, beloved? Only genuine Christians are salt. Only genuine Christians. Not lookalikes, not wannabes, not professors, but possessors. Only Christians are referred to in that verse right there by the Lord Jesus Himself. You are the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? I love watermelon. Oh, but you know what? I got to have salt on my watermelon. I do, and I put a lot of salt on it too. Cut one, I put that towel in my lap, in my recliner, lay that half a watermelon in there with a salt shaker right there, put a bib on so it won't get all over me, and get after it. Sonny, I like salt, brother. You know what salt does? As sweet as that watermelon might be and as juicy, that salt adds flavor to that watermelon. It adds flavor. You know what we do as God's people? We add flavor to a world that desperately needs to taste the grace and the mercy of God. We add that flavor by being salt to a world that desperately needs to see and taste the grace and the mercy of God. You know what else salt is? Salt is a preservative. It preserves. Back in the day, before they had the refrigeration techniques, refrigerators and freezers, what did they used to do with all that meat they cured? They'd put it in a barrel, put a lot of salt on it, and cover it with grease, wouldn't they? And I heard my grandparents talk about going out to the shed or whatever it was and reaching down in that barrel with all that grease and pulling that old salty meat up out of there. And it was preserved and you could eat it. They didn't have a freezer. Salt is a preservative that stays the corruption and the putrefaction of a world dead in trespasses and sin. You know what we do? We preserve where we go and what we do and where we work and where we're in school. We're a preservative. We're a stay of corruption and we're a preservative as we go through our lives. You know what else salt does? Now, we don't know about this here, but up north in the northeast and I guess where it gets really, really cold, you know what they use salt for? What do they use it for? They use it to melt ice on the roads, don't they? You know what salt does? It melts the coldness of a world that longs for the warmth and joy of the love of God. Salt does. He says, Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. You know what else salt does? Salt heals wounds. It heals wounds. You go to the dentist, you have some work done on your teeth, maybe they pull a tooth, and I'm getting kind of long in the tooth, and I don't have all my teeth anymore because some of them have been pulled. And you know what old Doc Smith tells me before I go out the door? What does he say? Gargle what? Salt water. Gargle salt water. You know what salt does? It heals wounds. And you know what we do as salt? You know, when Jesus said we're the salt of the earth, He uses us to heal the wounds of a world ravaged by the roaring lion who came to steal and kill and to destroy. The wounds of the wolf that sneaks into the fellowship and ravages the sheep. Salt heals wounds. And you know what America needs? Beloved, America needs some salty folk. Need us to be salty. Need us to get out there among them and be salt. Not only a stay of corruption, not only stand up for right and morality and all the things and stand for Christ and the Word of God, but to be those other things that salt does, the healing virtue, the preservative virtue, the flavoring virtue of salt. That's why he says we're to be salt. America needs salt. And by keeping our salt that we are in the shaker, we're liable for our beloved nation's destruction. We need to be salty, beloved. We need to be salty. And then the fifth way, right here in this same passage, the fifth way we can lead to America's demise or destroy America as God's people is to turn off the light. Turn off the light. What did he say? After he said we're salt, he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do they light a lamp or a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick or a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. And then he says this, let your light, whose light? Let your light, we are the light in this world right now for Lord Jesus. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, the light of the world. You are the light of the world, beloved. That's what I am. That's what every Christian is. I love a really good flashlight. You know, if you go outside at night, maybe you're hunting hogs or something at night. You need a really good lighter. You go outside. We have copperheads where we live, and when I go outside at night, I always carry a flashlight with me to make sure that I don't step on a copperhead. Now, if we had rattlesnakes, I'd carry two flashlights. We don't have those where I... Well, we do have velvet tails, those timber rattlers, but you don't see them very often. But I carry a flashlight. Why? I want to shine it in front of me. I don't want to get bit. I don't want to get bit by a snake. I don't even want to get bit by a chicken snake. So I carry that flashlight, and I love a real good light. You are the light of the world. He says, let. That's important. He says, let. That little three-letter word is so vital. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Oh, here we go. Oh, Brother Wayne, you're going to get out there and you want to be famous and you... No, that's not what he said. Did he say that they may see your good works and you receive praise and acclaim? No. Did he say that we might impress one another by letting our light shine, our good works, through our good works, let our light shine? No. Did he say that we need to let our light shine and do those good works so we can make points with God and He'll just think about us more highly than He does? No, no, no. You know what he said we're to do that for? We're to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Glorify Him. Bring glory to Him. Let our light so shine before men that those people that we come in contact with, whether it's at stores or wherever it is, at work or school, they may see our good works, those works that come from way down deep inside. Who we are on the inside is God's people, and they govern our lives and they make us and cause us to do what we do for God's glory. Only genuine Christians, only Christians, real Christians, those who've come to faith in Lord Jesus and know He's their Lord and Savior. Only genuine Christians possess the light of the Lord Jesus, who said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, He said. He that follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The world and our beloved nation, is locked in darkness. And Jesus saved us and He left us here to shine the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in this place where we live. We're His agents, we're His ambassadors, we're His witnesses, and if we don't shine, beloved, answer the question, if we don't shine, who will? Who will? Who will have an effect on our society? Isaiah 60, verse 1, the Bible says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Wow. What a flashlight we're to be. What a beacon in a dark world. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, He says, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? You know why we're to be salt and light? You know what I said we're a stay of corruption and we're light in a dark place. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus and the apostasy that would overcome the world. He says, "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time," talking about the Antichrist, the man of sin. "And you know what is restraining? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote, "It's already at work. Only he who now restrains will restrain." The old King James says, "Only he who now lets will let," it's restrain, "will restrain, and do so until he is taken out of the way." And you know how the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of this world? Anybody know? How? The rapture. And you know why the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of this world? Because he indwells us, and he has sealed us, and he lives in us, all God's believers. And when God's believers are gone, the Holy Spirit's taken out with us. He goes with us. And then you know what happens? The Antichrist steps on the scene, deceives the whole world. There'll be many that'll save during the tribulation. I understand that. But for the most part, the world is in a desperate plight then, like we are today. And maybe this guy, maybe he is alive. You know, I believe he's alive and well on planet Earth today. I really do. I mean, why, can you think of a better time? The whole world's in an uproar and chaos. The big explosion over there in, where was it? Beirut. And now the folks are rioting in Beirut. I heard on the news this morning they're rioting there because they're mad at the people in control because they let that ammonium nitrate sit there in that warehouse or in wherever it was for all those years. And they're rioting now. Hey, the whole world's in an uproar. It's a perfect time for the Antichrist to step up on the scene and say, "I've got the answer to all of it." But you know what? Only he who now restrains will restrain. And you know what that is? That's that Holy Spirit influence and power that's in us, that we would recognize him when he steps up, because we've got God the Holy Spirit and his wisdom. But we're going to be taken out, and then he'll be revealed. America needs salt and light, beloved. America needs salt and light. And by keeping our salt in the shaker and our light turned off, then we aid in America's demise. Number six, you know what else we can do? And I'm going to catch some flack on this because I've told you I'm anxious about what's going on, and I do worry about what's going on in America, and I've been accused of being fearful. I had somebody send me a scripture, and I didn't know who they were, didn't recognize the number or anything. They texted my phone how they found it out. I don't know, but about being fearful this past week. Hey, I ain't fearful like that. I ain't fearful that way. I am anxious, and I am worried about where we're headed in America if we don't turn around. But you know what we can do? As God's people, we can let fear reign and rule our lives. You know what fear does? We can let PC-itis keep our mouths shut. That the fear of not being politically correct causes pulpits to shut up and causes Christians to shut up. PC-itis. We can let fear keep us apathetic to the desperate needs and times of our nation. We can let fear keep us on the sidelines of political involvement. We can let fear keep us uninformed on the issues because if I don't know about it, I won't worry about it. I don't have to do anything. We can let fear keep our salt in the shaker. We can let us keep our light turned off because so we don't have to do anything. We can let fear breed more fear and more fear and more fear. Or you know what? We can believe God and His Word. Now, I'm going to tell you, beloved, I'm going to do all I can to keep America from going down. I'm going to do all I can. Now, I'm not fearful for my future. My future's in heaven. I'm not fearful that way. But we can let this fear grip us and cause us to just shut up and hunker down and stay in our holes. We can't do that as God's people. Proverbs 29:25, the Bible says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe." In our standing up and in our doing all we can do, we put our trust in Lord Jesus. Don't put your trust in me. I'm not going to put my trust in you. But we come together and we do what we do. That's why we have our watchmen on the wall. That's why they're watching for us right now to keep something bad from happening at Marlow Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Man, if you've never memorized a verse, memorize Isaiah 41:10. If you know John 3:16, that'd be a good one to memorize right along with it. Isaiah 41:10, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, calm and well-balanced and disciplined in our lives with Christ. Brethren, we can strap on that battle gear, the whole armor of God. We can put it on and go straight to the front lines, filled with the courage and power of God, the Holy Spirit. Or we can let fear reign in our lives and watch our nation go down, not being willing to do anything about it. I don't want to be that way, and I am not going to be that way. I'm not. And lastly, number seven, the seventh way we can watch America go down the tubes as God's people, we can aid in its demise or its destructions. We can ignore these guidelines. We can ignore these guidelines that we've talked about the last 2 weeks. You know what? We can ignore intelligent and righteous decisions. We can ignore those biblically based decisions and actions that we need to take. We can ignore those. We can fail to pray. We can fail to pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We can fail to ask God for wisdom and help and guidance. We can fail to determine if the candidates that we're going to vote for are honest. Honest. Are they consistent? Or do they vacillate from speech to speech or from day to day? And they change their stands in order to get votes. We can't do that. We need to check them out. See where they are. We can fail to research and study their lifestyles. How important is that? To study their lifestyles, to research how they live, what they do, what they say, who they run with, their morality and their standards of living based on the Word of God. We can fail to do that. We can fail to make sure the issues the candidates support agree with the Word of God. I know they're not all Christians. You're not going to have all Christians. I know that. But before 1973, we didn't worry about any candidate getting up and saying he was for killing babies or she was for killing babies. You didn't worry about that. We can make sure, we can fail, if we fail to make sure that the candidates don't stand on issues that the Word of God is built on. How about number five, if elected, will the candidate have the maturity, the wisdom, and the conviction to make tough decisions? We need to check them out. We need to look at them. We need to check them out. We can fail to do that and put somebody into office that we'll regret for at least 4 years. You know what else we can fail to do? We can fail to consider each candidate's past and current friends and associates. Very important. Friends and associates of whoever's going to be put into power will always show up in his or her decision making. Always. How about once elected? Once elected. Are we sure? Have we checked them out to see if they will use their authority that we give them and they have under the laws of the United States, will they use that authority to protect and promote and respect Christian principles and freedoms? Will they rule and legislate that way? Christians, if you or I want to see America continue to spiral downward in the spiral that we're in right now to its eventual destruction, these seven crucial elements should be followed. If we'll follow these, we'll see it happen. Let apathy prevail. Just be apathetic. Whatever. Or sit on the sidelines and not get involved. Just be quiet, be silent. Oh, I'm going to vote for so-and-so, and I know he or she stands for what I believe, but I'm not going to try to influence anybody else. Number three, be uninformed on the vital issues. All those issues we mentioned in that list. And I'm sure there's others, some I left out. Number four, keep the salt in the shaker. Don't be salt. Don't be salty. Don't be one of them salty dogs. Don't be. Number five, we can turn the light off and not let our light shine. Not let it shine in front of men. Number six, let fear reign. Be so fearful that we don't want to get out there and be recognized and noticed for who we are, God's people. I'm not talking about in a brash and arrogant way. I'm not talking about that. Just get out there and be a witness and an ambassador and a testimony. Turn the light off. We can let fear reign. Be afraid. We can be afraid. And number seven, we can ignore all these guidelines that we've talked about here in the last two Sundays. Just ignore them. Whatever happens, happens. Somehow I'm going to make it through. We won't make it through. Things will drastically change unless we stand up and do our part. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people He has chosen for His inheritance. I love Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17 in closing. And I know this is talking to the Jews, to the Israelites. I know that. But listen to these words. Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17. You know what? I would love for that little one that's squalling right there some and having such a good time, saying amen. She doesn't know what she's saying, but she is saying amen. I would love for her to know the America that I knew as a kid. We could get on our bicycle in Cameron, Texas, and we could leave the house in the morning, say, Mama, I'm going to ride out to Ledbetter Park on my bicycle. Or I'm going to ride over to so-and-so's house. Or we're going to play hide-and-go-seek. We'd start at nighttime in the summer about 9 o'clock. And play hide and go seek in the nighttime all over the neighborhood. And we'd set three or four blocks as the boundary, the only places you couldn't go outside those blocks. We didn't worry about anybody picking us up, hauling us off, abusing us, killing us. I'd love for our kids to know that America. I would. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, I'd love for them to know an America like that. Can it ever happen? I don't know if it could ever happen again. But I know one thing, we knew what it was. Most of it, a lot of us older folk in here, we knew what it was to have an America like that. Be able to go to the store. Not worry about Mama being right there beside you. Not worry about that. Well, I'd love to see those days come back. I don't know if they will or not. But I'm going to go down fighting for them. I am. Beloved, we need to get serious. We really do. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for our nation. I thank You for all You've done for us in America over all these years. You've sustained her. People have stood for her. Men and women have died for her. They're dying today in foreign lands to protect her. And God, I pray You'd move in this country. I pray You'd move in the hearts of Your people. I pray for the rally in September, the prayer rally. God, that You'd bring, it'd be awesome to see 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people out concerned about America and being willing to pray and to seek Your face and turn from our wicked ways. humble ourselves, and then, Lord, receive your promise that you'll hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. God, would you move in this country? Move in the hearts of your people. Thank you for our folks, and thank you for this church. Thank you that we're salt and we're light, and we need to use those inherent virtues that Christ said we are, not only to preserve society, but to change society. I pray you'd grant that. If there's one here today that doesn't know you, that has never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, we're going to give them an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to their hearts and they would say, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. And I want to be one of your children, Lord God. I pray you'd grant that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Richard, would you come lead us in one verse of an invitation song? Sister Carolyn, you never trusted Christ? Have you never trusted Him? This is a great day to do that, a great day. Then you can be salt and you can be light. You can stand for Christ, stand for righteousness. You can be righteous once we trust Him. His righteousness is applied to our lives. Let's stand, please. And we're going to sing one verse. I'll be standing here if you don't know what to do. I'm standing right here. If God give you the courage, let that courage, I used to know an evangelist would say, let that courage rise in your heart and in your soul. Take that first step, and it's easy to make the rest of the walk. Just come down here, and I'll tell you how to trust Christ if you don't know Him. All right? Let's sing, Brother Richard. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Good to hear Carolyn on the piano. Amen. Good to hear her playing that piano. Thank you for being here today, beloved. Thank you to our visitors. I'm blessed by you being here. We're exhorted and encouraged by that. Okay? So let's be dismissed. And I'm going to ask Brother Bob McLaren, would you dismiss us, please?
You've been listening to Marlow Baptist Church's weekly message. If the Lord is stirring your heart, please reach out to us on our website at www.marlowbaptistchurch.com or at the Marlow Baptist Church Facebook page. Marlow Baptist Church offers many Christ-centered activities, such as weekly worship services, Access Student Ministries, Marlow Kids, and various adult Bible studies throughout the week. For more information, go to www.marlowbaptistchurch.com. Thank you and have a blessed day.